My title for this morning is God Bursting In. So, have you been surprised by anything recently? I know some people have had some nice surprises recently. Maybe Brexit surprised you? Or Donald Trump? Maybe you think, what? That's more of a shock. Whichever way you look at it. Okay. As somebody said, let's not go there. But closer to home, there have been many surprises in relation to our city, haven't there? We've had the surprise... Oh, there was a surprise of snow in the Sahara. That's why I put that up. Or one of the deserts. And the surprise of the blade in Hull. Who's been to see that? The blade in Hull. And the word amazed has been used a lot recently. Did anybody see the light and sound show down in Hull? Yes. Everybody go and see that. So that generated quite a lot of interest. I've got a picture there as well. So it's really been great and surprising to see so many great things happening in Hull. They've been really excellent. And they've generated a lot of togetherness and community and pride and excitement. So we've prayed quite a lot of years for about the sort of bad image that Hull has had. It was in the top 10 of worst cities, wasn't it, for a while, and that sort of thing. And quite a lot of people had a sense there wasn't much to write home about. Others would completely disagree, but the eyes of the world are now on Hull and our region, and there's a greater sense of expectancy all round. Maybe in some sense, people looking for something more. I've also been surprised, as I've gone out and about these last few weeks, I've been surprised at God breaking into communities and the lives of in the places where I've been spending time. I go down to Hull regularly, in particular to some of the outer estates, and every time I go, I seem to be greeted with things like, you'll never believe what happened this week, or it's just been amazing. Or this week, I've had I'm just gobsmacked was the phrase used when I went into school this week. The stories are ones of encounters with Jesus, of instant deliverances, people walking to rooms and feeling this sense of oppression go off them or presences go off them. There've been deep conversations about faith, about kids being turned around from destructive behaviours, and stories of God breaking in loads of different ways. People crying out to God and them answering his prayers. On my last visit to school this week, someone came in, and whilst I was actually there, they asked if they could become a Christian and ask Jesus into their life. So that was amazing. So in Beverley too, I've been surprised by the level of engagement and interest as I've talked to young people about faith. I think... Ooh, have I just moved that on several times? A spiritual hunger has been bubbling up and is now coming to the surface. It's God that's doing it. He's breaking into the lives of communities too. In East Hull, perhaps communities that have not got on well with church and rejected Jesus, perhaps in part, he's breaking in there too. Jesus followers are being embraced into community groups and events. And some are interpreting people's experiences as God works in their lives. Other surprises, prodigals coming back to God. I know quite a few mums and dads who've been praying for their children and who have now actually returned to know God, to be followers of Jesus. People have been reconnected and things have come full circle. I've had loads of powerful meetings in coffee shops all of a sudden. So gatherings of people and God just really speaking into the conversations that have been happening. Maybe you've had some unexpected encounters too. So we know God is a God of surprises. He broke into many of the lives in the Old Testament, didn't he? Moses, Joshua, miracles and phenomena. He breaks in gently at times, we know that, and at other times forcefully. It says somewhere in the scripture, doesn't it, that he shatters the cedars with his voice, he thunders. But I love the idea of him bursting in. It reminds me of his energy, his purposefulness and he's very intentional when he breaks in. He broke into my life when I first became a Christian quite gently over a period of time. So that was about 1983. And then in a powerful way, in 1994, in a church meeting. First time was on my own at home. Second time, a powerful meeting where I experienced an electric-like experience with the power of God coming into me. So different ways for all of us. Maybe just pause for a moment and think about how he's come into your life. We'll just take a minute to do that. If he hasn't yet, it's a good time to ask him in. Now, Graham Cook says, God invaded your space because he's the original space invader. He brought you into an encounter with him, and now you're learning to live that out. Live out that encounter by learning to think and speak and act and become like Jesus. Because our goal is to become more Christ-like. We're a citizen of heaven, a new creation. Christ lives in us, doesn't he, and sets us up to see things as God sees them. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks of us being a new creation. The old has passed away. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. The old man is dead. And we're only really dealing with the new man. And perhaps we need to stop looking at our weaknesses, faults so much and see ourselves as he sees us and start complying with that. We're all on a journey, engaging in a process to put off the old man and put on the new. Jesus makes all things new, so we walk in newness of life. Oswald Chambers says, being born again from above is an enduring, perpetual beginning. It provides freshness all the time in thinking, talking, and living in a continual surprise, living a continual surprise in the life of God. I'm just going to read from 2 Corinthians, where it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And then, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So just pulling a couple of things out. It says, for the love of Christ urges us on. That means maybe not standing still, not staying where we are, and not remaining as we are. It says, because we are convinced that one has died for all. It compels us to reach out and engage with people because it's for all. And then it says, from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. So there's no barriers to our engaging with people. God loves transforms how we see one another because God's transforming love is for everyone. And then, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So wherever we are as Christians, a new creation is present. There we go. Now, we could talk about how God has broken in different revivals. But what I'd like to do is just not make that our focus right now, if we're looking forward to new things. And I want to bring two main scriptures. Now, I started to think about this quite a few weeks ago, and then John brought it a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's okay. And I've had a chat with him about it, repeating it. But I think God's got something to say. And I hope to give a different but a complementary angle. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And it's been great that John Booth there has brought the song, I am doing a new thing. And that's really in my head quite a lot of the time. I don't know about you, but because we've been singing it. So it's clear to me that there's been a bubbling up of the Holy Spirit in our area. As we look at that verse, that's what's happening. I love the picture of him springing up in the desert. It amazes me how the Holy Spirit's described as water. It's so indefinable. And water's a really good metaphor, isn't it, for a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And as a geographer, I studied and taught whole courses on hydrology. So I'm really into this water image. All the different forms, looking at drainage basins, the different forms and pathways that water takes, how it moves. Hydrologists can be interested in short-term events, you know, when it rains and what happens immediately. And then long-term things where you've got water in the water, in the ground and the water table and long-term processes. I like thinking about that as the way God works. We sometimes have encounters, don't we? The Holy Spirit works all the time as well. A steady ongoing movement of the Holy Spirit like there is of water. My favourite two ideas about water are the fact that he does work all the time under the ground imperceptibly. And where's my other one? That's something called a yokolop, which is where you have, it's my favourite geographical thing, where you have a dam of ice across a valley in a glaciated area. And when temperatures rise, it can suddenly be thrust down the valley in a great big burst of water. So I like the idea of God bursting in as well. Anyway, back to the springs before I get carried away. Last year, I don't know if you remember, but I shared a vision of me going up. It was in Margaret's house there. And I was going up through what looked like libraries, shelves, and they were all surrounding me. And I broke through, and it was like breaking through into heaven. And what I saw there was a bubbling up of water. And it was, have I got a picture? Nothing like that, really, but that's the best I can do. So it was undefinable. And me, with my mind, was thinking, is it a river? I was asking God, is it a river? Is it a lake? Is it a waterfall? Is it, a channel? What is it? And the point was that it was just bubbling everywhere. And I wasn't really to define it, or it was just indefinable. So, and at the same time, God was saying, not business as usual. And I felt that was a picture of him doing different things and not just in the usual way. So the point was that Holy Spirit was moving in an undefined, energetic, lively way. Our natural response is to manage and control and channel water. And I felt what he was saying was, it was just emerging everywhere, covering, trickling, finding a way across the hard surfaces, like I feel like has been happening in parts of Hull where I've been. Right. Whoops. So quite recently, that reminded me, I quite clearly heard Holy Spirit say, it was in relation to my son and just noticing his gifts and what I felt he should be doing or what felt God was saying he should do. And I sort of started planning his life for him, how he should go in this course. And I felt God say, do not channel, control or constrain. And I felt that this was a message for me and us generally in relation to what he's doing these days. Where are we? Not quite there. Okay. So I love the thought that springs points to underground activity. In spiritual terms, we've prayed for this area lots and lots and lots, and the ground soaked up the prayers of many, and somehow it's bubbling forth. Oh, I'm back to the water, aren't I? Oops. So, second passage I wanted to look at was just from John chapter 1. And it's a bursting in passage as well, isn't it? Jesus breaks into the world. He comes in an amazing way. He's light in the darkness and brings the sound of heaven to earth. There's so much you could unpack with this, but I just want to remind us that God breaks into the midst as a word. And the word is when it's proclaimed. So when we proclaim the word, God breaks in. When it's communicated by acts of love, with his hands and his feet and his mouth, aren't we? And the thought I wanted to sort of get hold of really was when the word breaks into us and we allow his word to break us open, breaks into our hearts and our minds and causes us to really resonate with it. It's the idea that we just become vulnerable and allow the word to affect us, but more than that, to let people see that that's what's happening in us. We can sometimes be very private about how the word is interacting with our lives, but when we actually share it and confess and be vulnerable and honest and open with people, it can have another power, another level of power. As we let the word transform us, it gives hope to those around us and shows the possibility of change. Now, I just want to return to, I love this, the way the message puts it. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. And that's a picture of what I see in Hull, you know, the word going into the neighbourhood and here as well. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, one-of-a-kind glory. True from start to finish. I wondered if we could just go back to this thing about I'm doing a new thing, do you not perceive it? And I wanted to focus for a few minutes on can you not perceive it? So, what is it? What is the new thing that he's doing? And I did say about not defining it, but he does give us glimpses. And if we want to walk with the Spirit, we've got to know the sort of thing, have some perception of what he's doing. Now, I've learned to ask questions, haven't I, Margaret? I'm about asking questions. So in any situation, I want to ask God, what are you doing here? What do you want me to learn about you in this situation? Often bad situations where we don't think God is. How do you want me to grow? What do you want to change in me? Or what change do you want to bring to others? So questions are good to ask if we want to perceive what he's doing. What are you doing? What's the new thing you're doing today? And also, what's the new thing you're doing in this season, generally at this time? And I just want to share now how I perceive God is working. It's definitely not a definitive account. That would be a bit unwise. I'm just bringing some perceptions so that I and maybe others can align with that. Perhaps it'll resonate with you. Perhaps it'll challenge. And these ideas have been formulated, they're not just my idea. I meet with various groups and as people talk and say, oh, God's doing this and that and the other, you get some sort of feeling as you share stories, don't you? The new's always in relation to the old and we have an experience of comparing how things are and how things were and what they're going to be. So these are fairly random set of observations. They don't really fit all together, but I'm going to just speak them out as to what I think they are. So one thing we feel like he's saying is it's like never before. It'll be like never before. And we can imagine that as something better and bigger than like never before, but also completely different from before, the way he's worked. So I'm just going to put that out there. He's a God of increase, but he's also a God of creativity, new things. He seems to sometimes be bypassing normal channels. We often just expect him to work in church. He does work in church, but bypassing normal channels in different ways, not working just in services, events or groups. One thing he seems to be doing is breaking in with great joy. I just love that picture, so you can't see it. Breaking in with joy, that's a hallmark of what's happening. And if we can get into joy and just realise that that's part of God's kingdom, that is where he works. He's also been working more than I've been thinking with all these prodigals returning. Perhaps you think God's not been at work in people's lives, but I think he's been working more than I realised through internal processes going on in people. He's working, I would say, organically, so not in a structured, planned way. A lot of the conversations and times when I see God working amongst Christians, particularly that I meet with, they're from different churches, and they're just people who have got together in a very sporadic, ad hoc sort of way. And I love that. He seems to be working in those situations. And I think he's working prophetically through the city of culture. It's all about light and sound and art and beauty, isn't it? And there have been huge gatherings at these events. If you look into the past, we used to have large gatherings in Hull, centred around church tent meetings and things like that. And there were hundreds and thousands even used to gather. But now they're doing that as the City of Culture events are taking place. God's using that to gather his people, to get them together, and to make them look at beautiful things. Some of the phrases used in the City of Culture were about looking up. And that's a real pointer, isn't it? Look up. As you looked at the light and sound show, look up. And the other phrase that's been used is back to ours, isn't it? So God can use that. We can use that to help with community. It's also very visual, isn't it, the City of Culture? And I don't know about you, if you noticed with kids these days, they have their mobile phones. Well, we all have mobile phones, but they tend to log their days by taking pictures of everything, and they're into the aesthetic of what's happening. So my daughter will take photos of cups of coffee on tables and post it round to all her friends. And anything that's happening in her day, it's logged, and it's all about how it looks. It's very visual, and that's what God's speaking into with the City of Culture, I think. So it's about a switch as well between your left and your right brain. Left brain, we tend to be in church, we've focused on all the left brain stuff, if I've got it the right way around, which is very rational and thinking and words, and we're all probably into all that sort of stuff. Whereas the other side, we don't tend to think about the beauty and visual stuff at all. Now, a little while ago, Steve and I went to visit a friend who'd had some brain operation. And we had a very special time with him as he was vulnerable and shared how God was working in his operation. But one of the things was he was having to relearn how to communicate and function by using the other side of his brain. So he's a scientist, a sort of very clear thinker, but he's having to learn how to use the right side of his brain through images, pictures, music, all that sort of thing. And I think we saw it as a picture of how God wanted to be in the church, of using that whole side and connecting both sides, actually, and making a whole. So I hope that made sense. Other things about being broken open. Vulnerability is something that I feel that God is working through, where we're being real and vulnerable and authentic as Christians. That is one of the keys, I feel. As we connect with communities, with the world, it's about community and circles. It's about storytelling and conversations, about listening and talking, about journeying together. Another thing, it seems to be bottom up and not top down. It's bubbling up, it's at grassroots level, how he's working. So it's not about leaders telling people what to do or imposing or doing it that way. It has been in the past and that was been right, but at the moment it seems to me that that's what's happening. Spontaneous and not over-planned. And God's saying, I will make a way and I will circumnavigate, go around that which is ineffective. He wants to partner with us, but if we don't, he'll do it anyway. The way he's working is mobile, fluid, organic, and it doesn't sit well in highly organised, structured settings. It's not so much about campaigns, events or programmes, but community conversations and spontaneous gatherings. I don't know if I can. You can get my notes. So that's the back to ours thing. It's to do with freedom. And I'll just go back. So having observed this, or these are my perceptions, I'm just wondering what we need to do, what I need to do, more to the point. So the word needs to be broken open in me. That means me being more vulnerable. Things like confession, authenticity, I've talked about. Being countercultural, bringing something different to people. Do we have the courage always to be real when we mix with people? I want the words to be break me open so I can communicate it by exhibiting it in truth and living it, modelling it and embodying it. So I need to dig deeper. I also need to get out there, spend loads of my time in church. And one of the things, if God is working in all these different places, I need to get out of the settings that I'm in and get amongst lots of people. So I've joined a drum circle and a singing group. So that's my attempt to do that. And I want to ask myself questions. Thinking about the new and the old, this half of the stuff I do it as a matter of course, as a matter of habit. What I want to start doing is to ask myself, is this a new thing or an old thing? And am I just defaulting to the old? A couple of examples of this. I am involved in organising a meeting, a large gathering in Hull for the churches. And we were trying to plan this meeting. There's a big poster at the back, if you see it at the back. And we weren't really getting anywhere. And we were aware of all the sort of upsurge of activity, of interest. But we used to run this meeting 8-10 years ago. And what we did as we met to plan it this time was to completely default to what we'd done in the past. And it wasn't working. It didn't really work out trying at the planning meetings, trying to plan this big meeting. It's for 2,000 people in the city hall. So God sort of just put a stop to it. So we've actually got a new sort of team and we're planning it with a blank piece of paper. And what we need to do is to sit there and ask God, what do you want to do, rather than defaulting to the old. The same happened with a youth leaders meeting we had this week. It was exciting to have 8 churches gathered together to plan some youth things this week. But it was strange that we actually defaulted to, somebody said, oh, we did this 20 years ago, that would be good to do. And it went down that avenue, if you like. So I think that needs a rethink as well. What another response I need to do is to don't try and define or get my head round what God's doing completely. Go step by step and be ready for the unexpected, for these surprises. Oswald Chambers said, keep your life so constantly in touch with God that his surprising power can break through at any point. Live in a constant state of expectancy. Make room for God to come in as he decides. God may send us to burst in on somebody else's life, us just being there can bring joy, peace, whatever, into situations. So be ready for the sudden leaves. We need to be safe hands, create safe spaces for people. And the other thing that I've realised is to assume people are seeking and interested. I think I'd thought the opposite roundabout now, but they are. Conversations are happening. God's going first, and we need to follow. So I'm going to finish there and just pray, but ask, what do you think the new thing looks like as you look round? How is it manifesting in church life, in your families? What's the new thing he's doing? Maybe not what you expected. Maybe your family aren't asking to come to church, but maybe there are ways which God is working that you need to be aware of and work with them. What is the new thing he's doing? It'd be great to have lots of conversations about how, what we think's happening as we look to move forward. All these conversations, what's everybody seeing and thinking and feeling about the new thing? So let's pray to finish. Father God, I thank you that you have broken into our lives. Thank you for the encounters that we've had with you. Thank you that we are a new creation in Christ. Thank you that the old is passed away. And Lord, as we seek to move forward into the new things that you have for us, I pray that you would open our eyes, make our hearts and minds sensitive to you, and give us the courage to step out into those new things. Amen. Thank you.